I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss the recent firing of an Athens police officer who hit a suspect with his patrol car, the swearing-in for newly elected District 2 Commissioner Mariah Parker, and Tuesday night's commission meeting. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Blake Odd from Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney from WXAG, and Lee Shearer from the Athens Banner-Herald. And first up is, of course, the topic that so many people have been talking about for several days, and that's an Athens Clark County police officer who was chasing a fleeing suspect, and he hit him with his vehicle, his patrol car, and lost his job as a result. But he found another one pretty quickly. So who wants to give us a little bit of a recap of this?
I think you have just given a recap.
It is a little bit of a recap.
The police department reviewed this immediately and found that the officer had been excessive in his use of force and terminated him. He was a rookie. And soon after, he was hired by the Oglethorpe County Sheriff's Department, which has a little bit of history there. In a couple of ways. One, the sheriff in Oglethorpe County has known this officer since he was very young. And it made me think of some past instances under a different Oglethorpe County sheriff, Ray Sanders, who had hired a few people who had this sort of trouble, more often with guns, though, in other jurisdictions. And had lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the sheriff it's David.
Gabriel.
He when he announced this, I think he was trolling Athens Clark County a little bit too, because he made a reference to, when he spoke to Officer Salters, Taylor Salters, the officer who was fired. He said the first thing Officer Salters asked was whether. The people of Oglethorpe County support their law enforcement, and of course they do. And, you know, it was really kind of, I felt like it was a jab at Athens Clark County police saying that, or the citizens of Athens Clark County really, you know, not supporting their law enforcement, which I think nothing could be further from the truth. You know, we do support our law enforcement when they actually are enforcing the law and themselves acting in a responsible manner.
Which, it's okay for citizens to have standards, too.
Which, in this case, you know, our police chief, Scott Freeman, reviewed the body camera footage, which was all made available to the public, and anyone can go look at it for themselves, and determined it correctly that this was a breach of department policy, because you can't use deadly force against a person just because he's running away from you.
And using your vehicle to hit a person.
Right. I mean, that is deadly force, and that's the same as pulling your gun out and shooting at somebody in a crowd just because they're running away from you. You know, I mean, somebody has to be for that level of force to be applied, I mean, somebody has to be waving a gun around and shooting at other people. Yeah. You know, you just can't do that kind of thing. So
it made me want to draw a direct line between this and Edward Wright and that awful episode. Was that 20 years ago?
Oh, more than 20. Yeah, it's probably.
Two Athens Clark police officers were unable to apprehend a naked man, obviously mentally disturbed, and one of them wound up killing him. And that seemed to me a watershed moment here. In this, I don't know how to describe.
Well, it was
how police.
Yeah. That was a horrible event. That really was, and I think in a very real sense, this one is too.
You were mayor then.
Yes, I was mayor, and I immediately went over to the area, and we were very lucky in that African American churches and preachers came together to support the police. We had initiated neighborhood policing long enough to where they realized the commitment, and we had good people in place. And in this case, I thought it was really interesting when you look at the video and you can keep looking at it, you will not see that many African-American officers responding. And the crowd that gathered, I thought one woman expressed it beautifully when she said, "Why you hit that man with a car like that?" I mean,
right.
It was
that
really,
was right at that, the top,
that
get, too.
That yeah. gets right to the point.
That
yeah,
got that right to the point, and that's
right
what she, succinct Freeman
to
looked
the point
at, too. It was very reckless. This is Nellie B. and Vine. This is one of the highest pedestrian use areas in that part of Athens. And I'm not talking about, I mean, I'm talking about families, and immediately you could yeah. see the level of population that was, how dense it was in that area and diverse.
There were children on the street. There were
yes.
women carrying babies on the street. And this officer lost control of his car.
Right.
And could have very easily hit any one of them.
Right.
And not even hit the suspect, you know, and not even that hitting the suspect was right, because that was wrong in and of itself, but that was so risky.
Yes.
To do that.
These police chases, no matter what the speed is, the danger of them has to be equaled by the danger of the person that their suspect that and the
right.
incident.
And they didn't even know for sure that this man had a warrant out on him. One of the officers
right.
thought he did, but
thought
they hadn't even
Jesse
confirmed
Patman.
That.
Right.
And they didn't know what it was for.
No, and
you know,
it was for
and it turned out to be a nonviolent.
Crimes.
It was a warrant for. It was a probation violation related to a drug possession charge.
Mm-hmm.
It was not even a violent crime that originated all
right.
this.
And it was, yeah, he was unarmed. There was no threat. That was encompassed. They just started running, you know. And anyway, I just think it's really important that the police did this. Acted so immediately. The lawyer for the suspect came back and lauded the police for their quick response and recognition that it was inappropriate. And so even if there is a civil suit, they're not going to get punitive damages because the agency showed that it disagreed with this action so clearly. And I think that's really important. You know, we were the first accredited police department in Georgia. And part of the reason was because of the standards that we put in place. And one of those major ones was the chase policy and how safe we wanted our policemen to be in pursuit of suspects. So this is a direct violation of that.
And, you know, obviously we're not saying, hey, don't do your job and pursue someone who's a suspect in a case. Of course, the police should be able to do that. The whole thing was the excessive use of force by using a vehicle to stop a fleeing suspect was yeah. what the issue was.
It was all out of proportion to what
right.
the guy actually
that
did.
Was it.
Right.
It was
yeah.
just out of proportion to
right.
That's right.
the incident.
And, you know, the Oglethorpe County Sheriff's response, one, I think it does show a prejudice of personal knowledge of the police officer, one, a kind of good old boy. I mean, he's part of that. But the other is...
And just briefly, I'm sorry, but
no.
we should also point out that the officer is the son of one of the captains in the Athens-Clarke County Police Department as well.
Right.
So
this is a part of the establishment, we can well say. But anyway, I think that the sheriff in Oglethorpe County, Sheriff Gabriel, shows the kind of cowboy mentality that is throughout our state in many ways, you know, an expectation that police will ride them hard and pursue them. So I think that Athens-Clarke County can be really proud of the fact that we are a high standard place that
yeah.
is not. We saw that do so many incidents. We've seen surrounding counties be, more aggressive than our own police when the incident or the event was in Athens-Clarke County. So it's interesting to see the change, the difference in cultures is what it is.
Sometimes it's a difference in administration. Under the new sheriff in Oglethorpe County, drug arrests and traffic stops have gone up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tremendously, actually.
Right. This kind of spending your time on this kind of nonviolent, cultural laws, you know, that we're seeing in other places changing that haven't changed in Georgia, that's gonna continue, and that's gonna rise as it becomes more. We have more and more people who are believe that law should be changed, we're going to have more and more law enforcement that's easier to find these people.
It does bring up a lot of broader issues. I mean, you know, should Timmy Patman have ever been arrested in the first place? You know, should these drug laws be on the books? And, you know, that now he's, as far as I know, well, at the time of this broadcast, I believe he's still sitting in jail. He can't afford to bond himself out, so.
And with Mariah Parker and some of these new commissioners, I think some of that might be changing.
Well,
next year.
We're definitely going to have some discussions about cash bail and decriminalizing drugs and things of that nature. You know, the extent to which we can actually do that under state law remains to be seen,
but Governor Deal's
conversation
even,
is going to continue.
You know, he's actually a supporter of,
he's made
rid
some
of
baby
it.
Steps. Yeah, sure. More needs to be done. But, you know, you've got this guy, you know, 24 years old, in jail, you know, doesn't have $150 to bond himself out. I believe his girlfriend is in jail, who's pregnant.
Wow.
And he has another child as well. So, I mean, that's just a tragic situation.
It's just such a
whole family is, and really for what?
A real mess.
Well, you know, when I interviewed Harry Sims on my radio show, I asked him what will be some of your first priorities as mayor, and he said that he wanted to get this question of the legalization, depenalization, decriminalization of marijuana out of the way, that would be the first thing that he looked at. And I thought that was fascinating.
He didn't support it, though. He just wanted to
get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way and say no.
Well, he's not going to be mayor.
Yeah,
I know. But what is interesting is that even that side recognized it as a major priority. So now we have a very different commission. It will be interesting to see what and how. Well, he was clear about the fact
the guy who actually is going to be mayor, Kelly Gertz, is in favor of decriminalization. So
right, but what can be done? You know, Harry says only depenalization, so that, you know, but criminalization we can't change because
the biggest thing that we might do is no cash bonds, and which is taking hold in places like Texas and Houston, very conservative places, because people are realizing that this cost us tremendous money. I've gotten, you might know the answer to this, two conflicting, a little bit, estimates, and I haven't gone to check myself, about how much the criminal justice apparatus cost us. It's somewhere between 50% and 60%, I believe.
Of our budget.
Locally?
It's the majority.
Budget. It's definitely the majority of the general
fund
budget.
And that includes courts. That includes courts and the jail of court. I mean, that's a whole bunch, but you're right.
And there are all kinds of questions.
$60 million a year.
At least.
Yes.
And then you look at the disproportionate rate where African Americans are arrested, four times more likely to be arrested than white people in Athens. So.
That's right.
Well, and anywhere else, pretty much.
That applies anywhere, sure, but
even for similar crimes.
Right.
Yeah. But I would hate to see us to go to a fine system, because that's even more aggressive toward the poor. You go down to city court, municipal court, and sit in there and look at the level of people that are there because they couldn't just pay off their fine. They're really trying to figure out how to work it off or whatever. And poverty, we are huge. They have to pay for probation. Probation costs them, you know. I mean, this is...
If they are released in lieu of paying bail and they wear an ankle monitor, they have to pay for that as well.
Right.
So we
take away their ability sometimes to work, you know, as far as a...
I think it was Harris County, Houston, did an experiment and found out that a really good way to get people to show up for their court dates, I mean, which is mostly why people get warrants issued on them, is they just don't... Anyway, it's just to give them a call and say, hey, your court date. Because there's some problems.
A lot of people forget.
And sometimes they don't have their phones or different addresses and so forth. But
so you don't get a notice or notification in
now,
the mail.
Now we pay bail. You have to pay a bail bondsman, And then when you don't show up, the sheriff goes out to make sure that you fulfill your contract.
To do the work of the bondsman.
To the bail bondsman.
Yeah.
But
and that's a very dangerous situation, by the way. It's very dangerous.
Well, it's one of the reasons that, like, maybe the big reason that people like Governor Deal are recognizing this is a very significant problem is that it cost us so much money to do this.
Right.
For maybe not too much gain. We're not protecting. I mean, it's not much of a protective function there often.
Right. We're not changing anything either because we are only getting the lowest users. I mean, the small users, we're not talking about great big drug bust, you know. We're talking about citizen use in most cases, pedestrian level kind of use in most cases.
And we're not just talking about marijuana either. We're talking about petty property thefts.
Mm-hmm.
That you can wind up, if you're poor, spending a lot of time behind bars and
without options.
You're right. A lot of discussions sprung from this one instance, certainly.
And that was one of the things, we're going to talk about Mariah Parker. That was one of the things she brought up last night was the cost of keeping folks in jail. Unnecessarily.
And that's one of the things that Mayor Gertz, too, has talked about, that he thinks he can find some efficiencies in the budget as far as law enforcement goes, especially the court system, if you can get people coordinating with each other better, which he worked on quite a bit, actually, when they were planning the jail. You know, they had a committee that simultaneously, while they were building the jail, was trying to figure out, well, how do we get the population down because there was all this overcrowding, and it actually worked really well because we built this jail and it's not full, so which is a good thing. But,
but
we can do better.
Don't give them time. But I mean, we really exploit prisoners very much. I mean, look at the jail. How much it costs to make a phone call there, and when the commission found out about the fact that it costs $16 for a 4-minute call or that sort of thing, when they found that out, what did they do? They didn't stop it. They took it away from the sheriff's budget and put it in their budget. So we're not talking about a situation in which these people are being helped while they are within our walls. We are talking about a very exploitative situation. Well, maybe we should tell the people how important it is that when people stray, that we don't condemn them to a life of no opportunity and cripple them where they can't pay their rent, they can't pay their car. Look at people that have car insurance. You know, they're taken off to jail right there. A young girl hit me on Prince Avenue, and she was in her grandfather's car, and she didn't have an insurance card. They couldn't find it. He gave her the wrong. She was taken to prison. So I followed them over there and helped her out. But I thought that was ridiculous,
like,
you know.
Right.
I was just, come on, this young student is, anyway. It's just an example of.
And then you know, getting that on your record really makes everything else difficult for you from there on out.
Right.
I mean, I know felonies are different from misdemeanors, but I don't want a mugshot in any way, shape, or form. And some of these things are a fairly minor to have to go be arrested in jail.
And Gwen, what you're talking about is exactly how you get deported if you're an undocumented immigrant, too. So, you know, all of these hardened criminals supposedly we're letting into the country, most of them are being deported for things like
no
fender bender with no insurance.
Or no driver's license, which we don't allow.
Which they can't even get.
Right.
And nobody is saying that, you know, we aren't supporting, okay, if you break the law, there are penalties. Of course there are penalties.
Well,
we're not saying get rid of penalties.
I see it as supporting law enforcement to say that we have high standards for you, and if you're, you know, if you don't do your job correctly, then we're going to get rid of you because we respect our cops enough to have high expectations of them.
Right.
No.
And I think most of them want
that.
To live up to those expectations.
Right. And we want them to have the respect of the community.
Right. And if you can't do the job up to our standards, then we don't need you in our policing in our community. That's not the kind of person we need.
Let me point out that here, as in many other areas, crime is just about as low as it's been in 20 years or more. We don't have nearly the crime that we used to. And that's debated why that is.
Right.
But it's not simply because we're putting people in jail by any means.
Right. But it's also that we this for that reason, I think, sometimes police don't have that much to do with hard crimes or violent crimes. And so they tear themselves down more and more to where instead of doing they have time to pursue these small things that I think will go away just because of money. That's what Governor Deal is. He's looking at how much we spend, but he's also looking at what these other states are making on decriminalization and reasonable laws related to commercial drugs.
How do you make money on decriminalization?
Well, I mean, look at Colorado. Look at Washington State.
Oh, you're talking about marijuana.
Well,
that's not decriminalization. That's legalization. That's a different thing.
Okay, you're right.
Because when you legalize it, you can tax it. And that's where
that's
the money
right.
is coming from.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
which is not going to happen in Georgia.
Well, I don't know. It's another industry.
Soon.
Y'all, don't ignore the greed that is out there. There's a lot. We're talking big money here that
may sway some people.
That's right.
Well, and
right.
people are changing generally about this. I don't think that's just a Democratic-Republican issue at all.
I don't think it's coming to Georgia any time in the foreseeable future. I don't see that happening.
Blake may be correct, but... you don't know, because when money is involved, sometimes there's a shift just
yeah.
because.
Well, we know the money involved already, and we've already had all the leaders say that in no way, shape, or form is that ever going to happen on their watch. So.
Yeah, but look at casinos. They said that, too, about casinos.
Well, we
and
still
now
don't
there's
have
a lot
casinos.
Of talk in Atlanta
we've
about casinos.
We've been talking about casinos for a long time, and it ain't happening yet
you
either.
You are
so.
Correct, Blake. So. You may be right. Yeah, I was just remarking that it's unfortunate that sometimes you do something small, especially young people do something dumb. That's usually when it happens.
And then
we've
it just
all
snowballs.
Done dumb things. And then, yes, then if you get arrested, then if you have this record, then it's so difficult for you.
Then you miss a court date, and then you get run over by a car.
So many things can happen and just, snowball effect.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's not funny, but...
You just see how it can spiral. And,
right.
you know, for something small where somebody else might have gotten released on their own recognizance or, you know, it was pleaded down. If they could have had a lawyer, they
That's right.
would never have
Bubba had, you know, I mean, he made a fortune out of defending and getting people off of DUIs. He was the first. He just made a fortune on that.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's pretty dangerous. But,
that's right.
right.
Because any kid with money at the University of Georgia, their parents are going to jump in because they know they're protecting the future and their career and all kinds
so
of
much.
Things.
Once you get a record that you just can't shake, you know, it's very difficult to get ahead. And it's always... Of course, the less fortunate are going to be the ones that pay more heavily for
right.
similar activities. I'm not saying
in money, but in their lives.
Right, in their
in
lives.
Their lives.
In their lives.
Right.
They will pay more.
When I was coming up, you could make a mistake and it would, you know, be resolved and informally and taken care of. Now it's in that record. We got the database. We got all the...
Google it.
Yeah, we can just Google and there you are. And it's just, it's really, I feel for young people today.
Well, you know,
we have some structures that will allow you to do that today, whereas when we were younger, it was informal. You might even say, good old boy came into that, but today it's highly structured.
Like the accountability courts or something that can really work with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, we wanted to talk a little bit about, we mentioned the commission meeting. Was there anything else that you guys thought was particularly interesting about last night?
The West Hancock moratorium I thought was a little interesting. Folks might remember about a year ago, the commission declared a moratorium, partial moratorium on demolitions and development in the West Hancock Avenue area in response to some development pressure that there was supposed to be some studies done, some plans come up with for some zoning, you know, that might alleviate the problem. And for various reasons, that didn't really happened. So the Commissioner Link wanted an extension, and she wanted a year-long extension. And there was a lot of negotiating back and forth, and Allison Wright said, well, how about 8? And Melissa said, okay, that's fine. And then Mike Hamby said, well, how about 5? And Melissa said, no, give me 7. And then 5 is what ended up passing. And the significance of that is that now that a consultant is going to come in and research all of this and make some recommendations as far as the zoning that's needed to protect the neighborhood, but they're not going to get that report till November. So it's going to come in at about the same time or maybe even after the moratorium now expires. And the other thing that this means is that if they need to extend it again, it's going to be the current commission that votes on it and not the one that takes office in January, which I think would be much more amenable to extending
to protecting
the moratorium and protecting the neighborhood than the current commission is. So I thought that was very interesting, the way that vote played out. It was Commissioner Parker, the new commissioner, voted against the 5 months, and Melissa Link abstained, I would assume because, you know, she wanted longer, but she didn't want to be on the record voting no. So that made it 8-1. But you kind of saw there in that vote, too, and it kind of repeated itself in a couple other votes, I thought, that night where Link and Parker, you know, were really kind of voting in tandem. And when you throw 4 more of them in there, you can easily see how a lot of these 8-1, 7-2 votes turn into 6-4. That's true, too. Yeah.
I've said from the very beginning that they need to spend their time on working with the potential development of this, working out a PD that buffers all of the surrounding area and gives the opportunity for that to be the kind of commercial space that it's going to be in some way. I mean, and we're going to end up in a situation where if we're fighting for something that can't happen under the law or related development-wise, then we'll just have wasted that time and that money. So I'm only hoping that they come in with different options and bring together a more working together on it.
I do, too. I'm just worried there are people on the commission that are kind of playing along with this, but they don't really want it to happen. You know, they're letting the process play out as long as they can kind of kick the can down the road.
As I understand, you're way ahead of me on this. This is about the varsity development.
Yes. Yeah.
But also what's going on is that this neighborhood is getting bought up by people.
There are a lot of investors coming in and buying these historic African-American houses and turning them into student rentals, yeah.
And that's been happening for a while.
It's been happening for a while, right?
Well, and not just that, but moving into them. Not just rentals. People are, the plaza. It's something that I notice frequently because I drive in that area, and it's just been transformed into something different than what it was.
Well, it was one of the few places, and it may not even be this way anymore, but, you know, I mean, Boulevard and Cobham gentrified long ago, and then it kind of spread to Normaltown, and then it spread to Hancock, and, you know, that's sort of the story, but, you know, that's where.
And look at Sunset and Holman, that whole inner city area around Normaltown, et cetera.
And lots in Newtown are $70,000. Lots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Newtown.
Yeah.
I mean, and
East.
We'll let that be the last word there. I want to thank my guests, Blake Odd, Gwen O'Looney, and Lee Shearer. To hear the show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, WXAG, Flagpole, or the Banner Herald. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.